Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles, and I like for us to dig into some scripture just to remind us of the blessings of the Lord as we have the Lord's Supper. I'd like for you to take your Bible and open it to Revelation chapter 15. Now, this morning we did Revelation chapter 14, and we talked about the 144,000 singing in heaven. We talked about angels making proclamations about the wrath of God coming and about people that should receive the gospel. And then we looked at the Lord judging, because it was kind of a picture of the Battle of Armageddon and what's going to happen. And we're going to get into that in the book of Revelation. It's going to be wild. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing to study the book of Revelation with the Battle of Armageddon. And so we're kind of in a preview of that. Well, can I tell you this? The very shortest chapter in Revelation is Revelation 15. So I want us to look at it. Look at your scripture there, and I want to read the passage. And then I want to share some things that I think will make tonight's Lord's Supper meaningful to us tonight in a unique way. In Revelation 15, verse 1, then I saw another sign in heaven. I think John is still in a mode of giving us a prelude. You know, this morning I said to the congregation, and I just want to say it because it's so overwhelming to me, the mercy of God. The Lord has given mankind every chance. I mean, from day one in the garden when they sinned, the Lord covered them up. The Lord sought out a people, and he chose a people, and he said to Abraham, he said, in you all the nations of the world shall be blessed. So make no mistake about it, the Lord chose the Jewish people, but can I tell you this? He chose them for a purpose that all people would know him in a personal way. I mean, from the very beginning of creation, of course, we know from studying passages of Scripture that he talks about knowing us from the foundation of the world. So none of this has been a surprise to the Lord, and from day one, his patience and mercy has been so clear. Well, trust me, the wrath of God is going to come. But he continues to give overtures of love. Overtures of love. The Lord is holy. I don't know that we totally understand what holiness means. It means to be, as best we understand, it means to be separate. It means to be different. But there is a loving side of holiness, and there is a judgment side of holiness. I remember at this church, when I was in college, learning an evangelism truth that said this, that God loves us and does not want to punish us. And then at the same time, God is just and must punish sin. So on the one hand, God is love. You know, the Bible says that in the book of 1 John. God is love. That's true. If you want to know what love is, you look at the Lord. He is love. But the Lord also said in the Old Testament, I will by no means clear the guilty. So we've got a problem. Or it appears to our finite mind that we have a problem. God is a loving God, and he doesn't want to punish us. And yet, God is a just God and must punish sin. Well, he solved that problem in the person of Jesus Christ, because Jesus was the infinite God-man, and Jesus left heaven's glory to die on a cross to satisfy the justice of God and to extend to us his love in salvation. The Bible says that it is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But congregation, I'm overwhelmed thinking about just all of the Old Testament. You know, the judges and the prophets, they rose up because of the rebellion of God's people. And they would reject the laws of God. And then what did God do? He raised up a judge to challenge them and bring them back. You know what they would do? The pressure came on so strong, they would repent for a little while, and then they would go on about their sinful ways, and then they would get in a mess again, and the Lord would bring another judge or another prophet that would. And so the Old Testament is full of that. And then the greatest expression or overture of love ever imagined was the giving of His only Son, the Lord Jesus. And so I'm amazed that in the book of Revelation, the final judgment of God and the final revelation of the Lord Jesus coming the second time. The first time He came as the Lamb. The second time He comes on a white horse as a judge. And we'll get to that in later chapters. But once again, there's a prelude to it. And He shows us a picture of heaven in this passage. It's another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. So in other words, the last bowl judgments are about to be delivered. Can you believe it? We have been going on and on. I have been preaching. Kurt has preached. Chris has preached through Revelation. We have been preaching, saying the judgment of God is coming. Well, it has come in the seals and in the trumpets. But I'm telling you, you hadn't seen anything until you see the bowl judgments. It's the finality of the judgment. And we're going to get to it in chapter 16. So next Sunday morning, we'll get to the bowl judgments. But He says in verse 2, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Verse 5, "After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony of heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues." He's getting closer. He's going to release these bold judgments. "Clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed." Now, just read verse 1. Let me read verse 1. "Then I heard," this is chapter 16, verse 1, "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth." And let me tell you, they're going to start coming. If you remember when we talked about there are sevens, there are three sevens of this judgment. There's the seven seals. Most scholarship believes that if from here to the pulpit was the seven-year tribulation, most scholarship believes that the seals go all the way to the very end of the tribulation. I mean, not the very, very end, but close to the end. In other words, seal 1, 2, 3, and a lot say seal 4 happened before the midpoint of the tribulation period. And then you have seal number 5 and seal number 6. Well, then remember in seal number 7 were the seven trumpets. So all of a sudden, now you're at the end, now you're going to have trumpet 1, trumpet 2, trumpet 3. See, it's all happening a little faster. So here we go. We're over here. Well, this is a great illustration, isn't it, the way I'm doing it? Anyway, there's the end of the tribulation. Here's the beginning. So seal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Trumpet 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In the seventh trumpet are the seven bowls wrapped in that one. This is called the telescopic view of the judgments of God. This is what this is called to theologians. It's kind of like a telescope. You take that thing and all of them, when you pop out the three things, all of them are in the first one. Does that make sense? And then you pop out the second one, and then you pop out the third one, but they're all in it. So they're all in the seals. I mean, they're close in the seals, and then you get the seven trumpets. Then you get the seven bowls, and they even come bowl one, bowl two, bowl three. I mean, they really come. And that's what's going to happen in chapter 16. We'll get to that next week. But this is a prelude to Armageddon, the great battle and war that is going to take place between the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the Lord God, which will end at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the great advent of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here we are in 15, which is a prelude to it. And what happens is John, he sees another sign. Look at verse 1, then I saw. Look at verse 2, and I saw in verse 2. Now you have to go to verse 5 for the next one. After these things, I looked. It's the same word. The New King James Bible says, I looked, but it's the same word. You could say, and after these things, I saw. Those are three different things that he saw in this sign. The first one is something huge is happening. Because he says, great and marvelous in chapter 1. Great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. He's saying, folks, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. The wrath of God is going to be complete. The second thing is they praise him. And this is all from verse 2 through verse 4. And you have in this, and I saw something like a sea of glass. You have this picture of heaven. And you have, and by the way, isn't it amazing? There's so much singing. I love that. There's so much singing in heaven. There's so much glory that is given and worship that is given to the Lord. And it says this, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now, I want to just go to verse 3, and then we'll come back to I want to go to verse 5, and then I'm going to come back to verse 3. In verse 5, they're talking about, verse 1 was something huge is going to happen. Great and marvelous, it says in verse 1. Then in verses 2 through 4, you have they praise him, the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. All right, in verses 5 through 8, he will judge the world with his wrath. Look at verse 5. And after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle, the testimony in heaven, was opened. And if you go down to, look at verse 6. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues. Okay? Clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels the seven golden bowls. And they are going to, this is a prelude to them dispensing those bowls of wrath upon the earth. But tonight, I want to focus on verse 2 through 4, particularly on verses 3 and 4. Now, when you look at this, the praise that they give him, it says it's the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. I want you to go back to Revelation chapter 5. This is the song of the Lamb. Go to Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 14. It says this, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. This is the song of the Lamb they're about to sing. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. This is the song of the Lamb. who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that is in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. So in chapter 15 of Revelation, he says, he gives this song, and he says, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Well, the song of the Lamb is about his redemption, that he is worthy to open the scroll, but he's worthy because of all he has done for us. And tonight we're here to celebrate, and we're here to remember. Celebrate's an okay word, but it's not the best word. We're here to remember reverently and thoughtfully what the Lamb has done for us. But do you know, he ties this song into the song of Moses. All right, what was the song of Moses? Go back to Exodus chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus chapter 15. All right, Robert, are you ready? I hummed this song to Robert literally about 10 minutes, well, about 30 minutes ago now, right before the service started, and he can play it now. That's why he's doing what he's doing, because he's good at this, okay? But anyway, this is a song I learned, and I used to teach young people, and it's the song of Moses, all right? So here it goes. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, I'm sure that Moses sang that song, okay? Those are the words from the first couple of verses of Exodus chapter 15. Look at it. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned into the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And on that song goes. So what is that a song about? It's a song about redemption. It's a song about how that the Lord brought the people out of bondage, out of Egypt. And when they got to the banks of the Red Sea, the Pharaoh's heart had hardened, and he turned against the people of God, and he came after them, and the Lord parted the Red Sea. God's people went through the Red Sea, and then the Pharaoh said, let's go get them. And so Pharaoh went into the sea, and all of a sudden the sea covered them up. Well, that is the song of Moses. And so this, in Revelation chapter 15, they're going to sing the concepts of what are in the song of Moses and the concepts of what are in the song of the Lamb, and I've got to get back to Revelation chapter 15, are found in this particular song. Great and marvelous are your works. Okay, so here's the first thing that they praise him for. They praise him for his works and his ways. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways. Secondly, they praise him for who he is. It says in verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? The name of someone captured everything there was about him. and the name of the Lord is worthy to be praised. And so that is emphasized in this song that is the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And then he's praised, thirdly, for his worth and wisdom. It says, "For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you." The scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then they praise him because of his wisdom in judgment. "For your judgments have been manifested." So folks, John gives us a glimpse into heaven at the time right before they're going to dispense the judgment. We have been talking about those judgments being dispensed for weeks, and some of them have been dispensed, but these final bowl judgments are going to be the final complete ending of the judgments. And it's interesting because from there you'll get into the great white throne judgment. You'll get into the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll get into the millennial reign of Christ, and of course the second coming of Christ. So it actually is a prelude to that. Having said all of that, the Lord has put a song in us because of what he's done in your life, because of what he's done in my life. And tonight, we had an opportunity to sing, and there'll be music while we're contemplating the elements of the Lord's Supper. But I just want us to realize that all throughout history, God has been after us. And I quite frankly, I believe there's a whole world of people out there that need to know that. Because they have been beaten down. Satan has done a work on them. And don't get me wrong, Satan has done a work on them, but they've bought into it. Their sinful nature is no different than my sinful nature was and your sinful nature was. And that is, they have sinned of their own volition. They are going their own way. But the Lord continues these overtures. And I'm just so grateful that in the providence and sovereignty of Almighty God, that he saw fit that in the course of my life for me to get the gospel message and to give my life to Jesus Christ. And he did that for you. And so tonight we celebrate that happening 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, to satisfy the justice of God for on our behalf. He took our place.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.